listen to the 60 Feet 6 Inches podcast for the week of September the 28th. In this episode, Nate and I are going to discuss the NHL season, the MLB playoffs, and we're going to debate who's the greatest hockey player of all time. All this and more in our revised format, so come join us. Alright, so I've been thinking about the question that you always ask about, would you much rather be a bench player for a team that wins championships, or would you rather be the star player on a mediocre team?
Right.
And recently, I am now the alternate on a intramural cornhole team, and this team is like the defending champions for multiple years. Has been the defending champions at my university. And I can honestly tell you now, I'd much rather just be the star on a mediocre team.
Why is that?
Because in the end, we're going to win the championship again, but I only participated in, like, one out of the 10 games.
Yeah, okay, I guess that's true. You at least get to feel like you're playing the sport when you're the star on a mediocre team.
Yeah, I'd much rather be the star of mediocrity than be the bench rider for success.
Yeah,
it's just funny though, you always ask that question and I always thought, well, I'd probably like to ride the bench.
Yeah,
but now after thinking about it and actually going through it, I'm like, nope. Screw that crap, I just want to be the star of a mediocre team.
Understandable.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
It's here. It's finally, finally here. The NHL season is finally here. I can stop watching football. I can stop giving a crap about what's going on with the Seahawks versus some other team that I don't give a crap about. And I can focus on teams I do care about.
I'm excited for hockey season too, but I'll bet you're like 50 times more excited.
Yeah, that's probably very true. I think it's just the fact that the Rays aren't going to make the playoffs this year, and since they've pretty much knocked themselves out when the season has started for the NHL, I've had about a month to figure out what to do with myself, so I've basically been stuck watching football the entire time, which for most people is awesome, but for me, I just don't get a lot of enjoyment out of watching football anymore, so it sucks. I was in sports purgatory for about a month there. I didn't really like the feeling of that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. What with my favorite baseball team always being out of it in about mid-June.
Yeah, understandably so. Let's cover some of the main stories going into the NHL season. You have the Coyotes, who have been suffering from a hellish offseason. You have all the court proceedings, all of the random BS that's going on with the team, and then finally, the best thing that can happen to the franchise, Wayne Gretzky steps down as coach.
It's just a sad state of affairs. I was talking to you earlier today, and like I said, I always kind of forget that the Coyotes exist, because they're one of those teams that's too bad to remember for being good, but good enough to not just be entertaining enough to talk about being bad. They're not like the Lions. Or
yeah, they haven't reached that level of suck where it's like, oh man, they're so bad. Right now they're trying to sell out their opening night. And they're selling the lower level seats, which in most NHL stadiums go about $75 or more. They're selling these seats for about $25.
Well, whatever you have to do to put fans in the seats, I suppose.
Yeah, they wanted to have, when they made the playoffs back in their old stadium, they used to have things called whiteouts, where everyone would get a white shirt when you entered the stadium. And now they're having trouble filling the brand new stadium they just finished like 3 years ago for this team. And so they're gonna try and sell out opening night. But one big problem that everybody's talking about is, what if they fail to sell out on opening night?
Yeah. And that is a distinct possibility with a team like the Coyotes.
Yeah. It sucks because I think Phoenix could actually be a decent hockey town, but it's not going to happen. They're going to end up relocating here in a few years, if not next year.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't see a big future for them there.
And then you have, in Chicago, you've had an interesting offseason as well. Me being a Blackhawks fan, it's been a weird offseason. You had the Hawks losing Havlat, who's been one of my favorite players to watch in the Hawks. And then you signed Marian Hossa to an obscenely long contract where, if you look at the weighting of his salary per season, it's obvious they did this just to get around the collective bargaining agreement that was signed after the lockout.
Yeah. And by the way, congratulations to the 2009 Stanley Cup runners-up.
Yeah, we're guaranteed to be the runners-up for the next 12 seasons. Seriously, have you looked at Hossa's contract? It's front-loaded so that they figured out how many more seasons he's going to play and gave him all the money he would want up to there, and then for the rest of his contract, they just gave him less and less money as each year went on.
Yeah, I saw that.
And of course, the NHL is investigating it, but it's weird. Like, as soon as all this Coyote stuff heated up, the Hossa stuff went on the contract dealings went on the back burner, and no one has heard anything about it since.
Well, only in the NHL could something like this happen.
I don't think that's true. I think that could happen in any league where the collective bargaining agreement was poorly constructed and rushed so that way they could get back to playing. I mean, it's possible that something like this could happen in the NBA. The NFL, maybe, but they have a lot better leadership, I think, than the NHL currently does.
Maybe, but it seems like the big contractual disputes are always either in the NHL or Major League Baseball.
Well, the NBA had a lockout, in the mid-90s? Right after Jordan came back. And then the NFL had a strike in, the mid-80s, was it?
Yeah.
And right now they have safeguards in place so they'll keep playing next season, but when the salary cap runs out, you know that they're going to have to go back to the table and renegotiate how things are run.
Yeah. They have to reach a new collective bargaining agreement there pretty soon here.
I don't know. The collective bargaining agreement in the NHL is going to have to get restructured anyway, so it's just something where the Hawks figured out a really sneaky way, a really Chicago politics way of doing something, which I'm okay with. I mean, I kind of grew up in that area, and Chicago politicians aren't dirty. They just play to win, and people are just mad that they're trying to win.
Well, I mean,
if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
What the Hawks did was within the rules, so I'm not mad about it either.
Yeah, I just think it's funny to talk about the fact that we're going to be the runners-up for the next 12 years. And then, another great development in the Hawks off-season was the fact that Patrick Kane decided, oh, well, I'm not going to fight anytime when I'm on the ice, but if you get me liquored up in Buffalo, I'll definitely punch a cabbie or two.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's real hilarious. I love the fact he's now branded with 20 Cent as his nickname, since the dispute was over 20 cents.
Yeah, that's one of the best nicknames I've ever heard.
Seriously, you have a guy in the Western Conference Finals pull a mouth guard out of your mouth, and you don't even hit him, but then you'll punch a cabbie over 20 cents. Like, I know there's more to this story, but the amount of how ridiculous this all is mind-blowing.
20 cents. I mean, he makes thousands, millions of dollars every year, and he's getting in a dispute over 20 cents.
Well, as he puts it, it had all to do with the fact he was locked in the back of a cab. But that doesn't negate the fact that it's still insane.
Yeah.
And then in. And then finally, it seems like the... Finally, what? Then moving on to the Winter Classic, which has been announced this year, you have the Flyers taking on the Bruins in Fenway Park.
I love the idea of the Winter Classic in Fenway Park. I just want to get that out there right out front. I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I really hope they get a camera up on top of the Green Monster, even if it's just for, like, in-between play shots of the ice surface. I think that would be an incredibly interesting view.
Yeah, I've always thought that they should do that for all events at Fenway Park.
Well, they usually do. Most games that are on, like, ESPN, they have a camera right up there. And then another big development that happened this offseason was Danny Heatley getting traded to the Sharks. After all the crap that's gone down with him and just the city of Ottawa in general, to see him get traded to a team where he's probably going to end up flourishing only makes the Sharks look more terrifying. Except, of course, you have to remember, this is San Jose, so they're going to win more than half their games. They're going to end up with about 112 points at the end of the year. And then they'll flame out in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, isn't that what San Jose has got for?
It always happens. It's like clockwork.
Seriously, like, the Sharks are, like, playoff cursed. Like, I think last year was the first time they ever won the President's Trophy, but beyond, like, any other season, they go into the playoffs, and they get, like, into the first or second round, flame out, and then Sharks fans are sitting there scratching their head for the next 6 months wondering what the heck happened.
It is. It's one of the weirdest developments because they're by far one of the better teams in all of hockey, but they just can't seem to pull it together in the postseason.
Well, it's kind of like the Colts all those years where Peyton Manning, you know, would screw up. Well, Peyton Manning wouldn't necessarily screw up, but someone would botch it in, you know, the AFC title game, and then you're sitting there wondering for the next, like, 6 months, what happened? Where did we go wrong? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's only a matter of time before the Sharks eventually make it into the Stanley Cup Finals. But it looks like the window of talent is closing in San Jose. Plus the fact that they play in the Western Conference, which best of luck on trying to win the Western Conference when you have Chicago and Detroit and the various other teams in that conference. I would be shocked to see San Jose in the finals.
Yeah, so would I, but I'm not going to rule out that possibility either. They are a good team.
And while we're on the topic of the finals, for the last 2 years, hockey fans have been treated to Pittsburgh and Detroit in the Stanley Cup Final. Last year, the series came down to Fleury doing his best impression of a Secret Service agent diving in front of the president to win the game.
One of the best saves I've ever seen.
That save is, like, the most ridiculous over-the-top save of all time. Like, it really looks like one of those shots where he could have just put his body in front of it, but instead he just did the whole heroic, like, no! Like, save.
Well, that's sort of the way that Fleury plays, though. He's a very drop and flop type of goaltender where he'll just kind of fall midway through making a save and then he'll have to make some fantastic move to stop the puck. But it works for him.
Yeah, but I mean, wasn't it that exact same style of play that made Pittsburgh fans calling for him to be replaced midway through the season last year?
Yeah, but they don't know what they're talking about. Fleury's a good goaltender. If you look at him compared to some other NHL goaltenders, there's no reason to replace him. I'd say he's one of the better goaltenders in the NHL.
Yeah, potentially. Goaltending is always the most important position in hockey, because no matter how good your offense is or your defense is, if your goaltender sucks, you're going to lose games.
Without a doubt.
Which makes me a little bit concerned about the Hawks this year, just because we have Hiwe as our goaltender, who last year in the playoffs, he proved himself to be a pretty good goalie, a pretty valuable goalie, but there's just too many question marks, and it just makes me a little nervous. He's looked good so far in the preseason, so hopefully everything will turn out okay, but it's just that slight nervousness about it.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that Chicago is going to face an incredibly, I don't know, I think if you're a Hawks fan and you thought this offseason was bad, it's going to get worse next year when we have to try and re-sign the big three, you know, we have to try and re-sign Campbell, Taze, and Kane to long-term deals, and there's no way we're going to have enough cap room to deal with it unless we start trading off people, like Bufflin or someone else.
Always a precarious situation. But you never know. I mean, the Penguins faced that same situation not too long ago when it came to Hossa and a big part of their core. And they decided to let Hossa go, and they won the Stanley Cup. So you never know.
The thing is, they didn't let Hossa go.
That's true.
Hossa was offered more money by the Penguins to stay for a long-term deal, but he went with the Red Wings because he thought, I'm pretty sure he said something along the lines of, well, they're more likely going to win the cup.
That's exactly why he left. And I guess let him go wasn't the correct move, but I actually read an interview with Hossa after the Stanley Cup Finals for this year, when he lost for the second year in a row, which is always the bitter irony of that series. But somebody asked if he regretted moving from the Penguins to the Red Wings, and he said no, he didn't regret it at all, because there's no telling what would have happened if he would have stayed on the Penguins. The quote he gave that made the most sense to me is, if they keep Hossa, maybe they don't have some of that money in the cap room to go and sign some of the free agents that helps put it together for them at the end of the season.
I don't know, it's true, you don't know what's gonna happen, but it's, I don't know, I think the Penguins would have been a better team with Hossa than without. The one positive I see with Hossa joining the Hawks this year is that he's injured right now. I know a lot of people are like, how does that make any sense? Well, he's injured now, he's injury prone anyway, and he's not going to come back until midway through the season, which means he's going to be getting back in the stride, and by the time he hits, you know, full speed, he's going to be well rested and rejuvenated going straight into the playoffs, which is a time that you need a guy like Hossa more than any other time during the season.
No, without a doubt. Hossa's a much better player than a lot of people are willing to give him credit for, because a lot of people don't look past the fact of his playoff failures, but he's a dominant hockey player. He's a star-level player.
Not to mention, he looks menacing. I don't know if you've seen the most recent issue of ESPN the Magazine, but he's on there along with Huey, Taze, and Kane, and he looks absolutely terrifying. It looks like he already knows all of your secrets, and he's going to destroy you.
Marian Hossa is the Terminator.
Marian Hossa, with his sharp Eastern European looks, knows all of your secrets, boop, and shall destroy you.
Boop, boop, T5, boop, boop, this march.
Marian Hossa is Marian Hossa in Marian Hossa, Man of Action. Enough of the Marian Hossa talk. Let's get to the predictions. So, Nate, what are you thinking? Who's going to win the East, who's going to win the West, and who are we going to see in the final?
Well, I'm calling for Pittsburgh to repeat their, not necessarily a championship, but at least another appearance in the final. And as for the West, I want to say the Blackhawks, I want to say the Sharks. In the end, I'm going to give the edge to the Blackhawks because I feel like they're the better team overall. So, your Stanley Cup prediction from last year, Penguins versus Blackhawks in the finals.
I was only a few games away from getting that right, too. But I think I'm going to go with that Puck Prospectus got this right. I'm pretty sure that this is going to end up being a Boston Bruins Chicago Blackhawks final. And just because I can, I'm going to go with the long-standing two-year tradition of whoever wins the Winter Classic loses the Stanley Cup final. because the Penguins won the Winter Classic in 08, and they lost in the final. The Red Wings won the Winter Classic in 09 and lost the final. So the Bruins are going to win the Winter Classic this year, and then the Hawks are going to win the West in 6 games over Detroit, and they are going to take the Stanley Cup and end the longest drought currently in the NHL. And of course, I'm a homer, and that is a homer pick, and I don't care. Because I'm so sick of my team not winning the Stanley Cup, I'm going to keep predicting them to win it until they do.
But with the superstitious person you are, you have to be worried about whether you're jinxing them by picking them every year.
After all this time, I don't care if there's a jinx or not. They either win it this year, or they're bums. It doesn't mean I'm not going to love them. It just means they're bums. I misspoke earlier. It was Cam Barker, not Brian Campbell, whose contract is up at the end of the year. Campbell just got re-signed under contract this offseason, I believe. So I was thinking about that, and I was like, that didn't seem right. But, yeah, so Nate, did you predicted the Penguins are going to win again, right? Is that what you just predicted?
I don't know about when, but I'm predicting at the very least an appearance. I think the Penguins are going to be a force to reckon with in the NHL for many years to come.
All right. Are you going to make a prediction who wins then? Or are you just going to leave it at, I'm just going to predict a final?
I'm probably just going to predict a final. But if I had to pick between the Penguins and the Blackhawks, if I'm right about the final, I think I'd give it to the Penguins in 7 games.
All right. So more or less, we're doing a rematch of the 92 Stanley Cup final.
Basically. With all completely right. Different players.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Hawks over the Bruins in I'm gonna say 5 games. That seems like a fitting number for some reason. I think after last year's like momentous postseason, I think this postseason might be a letdown in comparison.
I have to say, even without a rooting interest in either of those teams, I'd love to see a Hawks versus Bruins final.
I think it would be a well played series at least.
Without a doubt.
I think another prediction I'm going to make is that Patrick Kane is yet again going to make me feel like I have amounted to absolutely nothing just by solely being a year and a half younger than me and doing so much more with his life than I probably ever will. So that is also a prediction, and I'm pretty sure that one will come true. Well, nope, I guess he's also succeeded at beating up more cappies than I will ever do. So, something to take away, I guess, from all of that.
Life lessons from Patrick Kane.
Yep. If you're 20 cents short, it looks like you're getting a refund.
It is worth fighting for.
But 19 cents? Nope.
Let that go. Let that 19 cents.
Now it's time for one of our newest features on the program, a ranting segment called The 2 Minutes Hate.
The 2 Minutes Hate.
One thing I hate is an American soccer fan that cheers solely for European club teams and ignores his own domestic league. That is despicable. You sit there and you complain about the fact that we don't have a soccer culture in this country, yet you don't support your own domestic league. You only add on to the thing you hate, and that's disgusting. I'm not saying that you have to be a season ticket holder for your local club or anything like that, but you know, some support would make sense. If we're going to build up a culture in this country, we need to band together and stick together and build upon something that one day our kids may be able to take forward and show to the rest of the world. America does care about the world sport, and yes, it is important to us, but instead, you sit there and support only European leagues. You care not for your own domestic league and you slap your countrymen in the face. I'm not saying this is some noble cause or some civic duty, but it would make sense that if you're trying to get respect for the game that you love on the world stage, for your countrymen and for your country, that you would do something about it and you would support it. Instead, what we're faced with in this country is a large group of our soccer supporters not paying attention to our own league. Guess what? If we don't support it, it will go away. If we lose the MLS, which do you think is going to look worse on the world stage? Us having a league or us not having a league? Which is going to reflect worse for us as a country and us as a whole? Where are we going to build up our domestic talent at? Because not all of them are going to make European clubs. I'm not saying that this is the top talent, and I'm not saying that you should ignore European soccer, for I too love European soccer. But if we ignore our domestic league and we neglect the culture that we're trying to build here, we will only become a further laughing stock to the world.
Alright, and now we can move on to the MLB season. And it's winding down, and I have to say it has to be the most boring end to an MLB season I've seen in quite some time. There's virtually no races for any playoff spots. Even though...
We just get to watch everyone cruise into a playoff spot.
Yeah, even though as of this recording, which, by the way, this is recorded on Sunday, so don't go crazy if another team is clinched by that. Even though only three teams have clinched a playoff berth this year, it doesn't look like there's going to be much competition for the remaining spot. It's possible that the Twins could overtake Detroit in the AL Central, but is anybody truly thrilled by that playoff race?
I think the good people of Minnesota and the three people in Detroit that are coherent enough to understand that baseball is still going on care, but no one else does.
Exactly. It's such a boring race, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any kind of dream run team this year like there has been for the past few years, like the Rays last year, the Rockies. No team like that looks like they're going to make it this year.
Well, don't forget about the NL wild card. You got Colorado and Atlanta duking it out for that last spot.
Yeah, but those are both good teams, and we knew that for a while. I'd much prefer to see the Marlins make it in, just because every time they make it in, they win the World Series, and it's always shocking.
Although, slightly off topic, but I have to give big oops to Ichiro. You got ejected for the first time in your career. Good job. I'm glad that you showed everyone you have testicles and you're not a machine.
I still think he's a machine. I just think that was a malfunction.
Bullcrap. He's a man.
Nope. Ichiro. Man or machine. That should be next week's debate.
I still haven't seen footage of this ejection. Apparently he just, like, slammed his bat in the dirt and the umpire was just like, oh, that's good enough, you're gone.
That's basically exactly what happened. I'll bet that umpire was thinking, Ichiro's never been ejected. It's time to make myself that umpire.
Yes, because because he knew going into it that Ichiro had never been ejected.
I'm sure umpires keep track of stats.
That's like an incredibly obscure stat. No one kept track of that. No one kept track of that until today.
Nope. Mask conspiracy.
Yep. We have all the playoff stuff winding down. Should we make any type of prediction or anything to at least be looking for?
I guess, but I'm going to be the boring guy here and predict the Yankees to take it all. They've been by far the best team in baseball this entire season. The only team I think that could give them a run for their money from the National League is the Dodgers.
I really think the only reason why I don't want the Yankees to win is just so I don't have to listen to our friend Reptar continually talk about how the Yankees are the greatest team ever.
Yeah, I'd love to see them not.
Like, I think the fact that I actually know a Yankees fan that brags about his team all the time makes me hate the Yankees more so than I usually would.
And just because there always has to be a rooting interest or the baseball postseason is boring, I'm going to go ahead and pull for Detroit / Minnesota this season.
I'm only pulling for Minnesota. If Detroit makes it, I hope that the city burns to the ground and everyone cries. Although, isn't Detroit constantly burning down in some form or another?
I just feel like after last year's Lions season, the fans of Detroit deserve something.
They went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost in one of the most entertaining finals you've had in the last, like, 10 years. Not to mention, Detroit's known for being pretty much a hockey town. They got rewarded for something.
Yeah, but 0-16, man. You can't just erase that with a Stanley Cup loss.
Look, Detroit had it coming. Have you been to that city?
No.
Dear Lord, I had to take a shower. Like, I had to take 3 showers back to back after I visited Detroit once. I didn't even get out of the car. I just drove through the city and I was like, man, I just need to make sure that the layer of skin I had on before I went to that city is no longer on my body.
Alright, that's Peter with some Detroit hatred. But I'm gonna go ahead and root for them anyway.
Hey man, it's too close to hockey season. I'm in full hate mode.
I'm gonna go ahead and root for them anyway. Extra hard now, just to spite Peter.
Yep, because that's the kind of friend you are.
That's right.
Yep. So let's just assume it's the Yankees, the Red Sox, Detroit, and the Angels. Who you got?
Yankees. That's who I've got.
You make me sick.
Like I said, they've been far and away the best team in baseball all year.
Dear Lord, this is going to suck so much. You have the Angels, who I hate, Detroit, who I hate, and then Boston and New York, who I both hate. So, I'm just going to hope that all the American League stadiums burn in righteous fire, and,
Just pick whoever represents the National League in the World Series. But then you've got Philadelphia from the National League.
Let's see, you got Philly, St. Louis, L.A., and what will probably be Colorado, unless something big happens. I'm gonna go ahead and pull for the Dodgers, just because I can, and yeah. Let's just go, Dodgers. Please, just win a championship. Like, I'm so defeated after just looking at the American League. Like, all of those teams, I just cannot stand. Like, I think the only thing that would make it worse is if, like, the National League was Philadelphia, the Cubs.
Dear God, it'd be the worst playoffs ever. But Major League Baseball would love it.
Yeah, Major League Baseball would love it, but I'd turn off my TV. Hockey season started. I don't need to watch this. Seriously, if you had Philadelphia, Chicago, I don't know, I guess Colorado, and then Houston. Yeah, Houston's another team I can't stand for some reason. You had those teams playing the National League against the current list of teams you have in the American League. I would turn off the TV, declare the season over at that point to me, and would just wait until next year. I would just find out who won the World Series through SportsCenter. Like, baseball is like my second favorite sport by an incredibly slim margin behind hockey, but if you have those teams playing for the championship, I have no interest. I'm done. Of course, the thing is, like, all of those teams have, like, the biggest fan bases in Major League Baseball. Maybe that's
exactly
why.
Exactly. You never run into an annoying fan of the small team that never makes the playoffs. Unless they're the Reds.
Yeah, but I think the Reds is more of a regional thing, since we're from Indy.
Yeah, quite possibly.
I don't know. I've run into a couple fans from other teams that are just kind of annoying. I don't know. Detroit fan is always interesting. Like, are a Tigers fan, because they're wearing a Tigers hat, and almost all of them that I've met have no idea what's going on with the Tigers.
I just love the Tigers hat because the old Tigers logo, the Tiger looks like he's horrified of something.
Oh, you mean the one that was used in like the mid-20s?
Yeah, that Tiger looks like he's scared. I think it's because he knows that part of that Tiger's history is Ty Cobb, and Ty Cobb will beat that Tiger.
It's true. Ty Cobb will kill you. Alright, so my prediction is definitely L.A. Well, that's my hope, I should say. My hope is rested completely in the Dodgers. But, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think the Yankees are probably going to end up taking the American League. Either the Yankees, because they won the East, or the Wild Card, who are the Red Sox. So, I'm going to say the Yankees, superior team. Yankees will take the American League. National League, I think, is just going to be one of those things where it's, well, who got hot when?
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, will end up in Colorado somehow inexplicably making it.
It's the power of the humidor.
Dude, don't even get me started on the humidor. That is the stupidest thing that has ever been done in baseball. Actually, I should take that back. Selig's done a lot of stupid crap.
I'd argue the hill in Houston is the dumbest thing that's ever been done in baseball.
Do not get me started on that hill. That hill is a throwback to olden days of baseball.
That hill is an abomination.
No. No. It is. How could you argue it's an abomination?
It's an abomination.
The humidor is an abomination. You took the one slight advantage that the Rockies might have and completely eliminated that.
I didn't say the humidor wasn't an abomination, just that hill's also an abomination.
I mean, think about what Selig's done to the All-Star game. That's also an abomination.
Yeah, very true.
So, abominations be had. The American League... The whole playoffs for the American League is an abomination. Since we're discussing things that are abominations. And overusing that word.
This is the new topic and word of the day. Dear Brian McClain!
Dick Coach's Corner! I'm Ryan! So, since the NHL season's starting, we're gonna introduce our new debates portion of the show. With the wonderful topic of who's the greatest hockey player of all time, Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux?
And Peter's answer is truthfully Bobby Orr, but we're just going to pretend he doesn't exist.
Well, Bobby Orr is the usual throw-in that someone will use as kind of a wrench in the gears argument, just to wreck everyone's conversation. Because, you know, Gretzky and Lemieux people argue forever about this, and then just as it seems like no one's going to win, somebody jumps in and says, what about Bobby Orr? And everyone just quits arguing. Like, we're done. We're going to go do something else.
And totally a homer pick here, but I'm going to say Lemieux.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Gretzky because, let's see, the obvious things that don't actually contribute to him playing on the ice, the great one. His number is retired across the league, and, well, at least he wasn't injured almost all of his career.
Yeah, that's all well and good, but if it wasn't for injuries and, you know, the whole cancer thing, Lemieux would hold the records.
You can claim that, but you can't prove that he would hold the records. And also, the whole speculation on, like, If and butts were candy and nuts, then we'd all be merry or whatever the heck the end of that is, because I've never remembered what that is. But the thing is that he wasn't healthy, and that contributes to if he was the greatest player of all time. Because the greatest player of all time would have to be healthy. Because you could say that somebody would be one of the greatest players of all time. Well, would be the operative word, not is.
I'd argue that for the amount of games played, Lemieux was the better player.
Yeah, but even then, you'd have to start taking account of the plus minus and the points and all of that stuff.
And Lemieux was good at all of that.
Yeah, but I think if you're going to say for the amount of games played, then you're going to have to make some sort of ratio to determine, well, here's what he averaged, like, goals per game, and here's what he averaged, you know, points per game, etc., etc.
Regardless, you bring up the great one, I'm going to bring up 5 goals 5 different ways.
That's an amazing feat, but I don't really think that makes you the greatest player of all time.
Not single-handedly, but it sure doesn't hurt.
Yeah, well, what about every single record that Wayne Gretzky holds, or the fact that, you know, he's, like, I bring it up again, his numbers are tired across the league, he's heralded by most hockey fans as being the greatest of all time. He had 91 game-winning goals in his career.
Yeah, and that's all good stuff. I don't want to sound like I'm disparaging Wayne Gretzky here. I just think Lemieux was better.
I think if the argument was who's contributed more to the game of hockey, I think I might side with Lemieux. But as a general player, I'm still not...
See, I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to say the opposite. I'd say who's contributed more to the game of hockey, it would be Gretzky. Because when you talk about hockey, he's always the first name to come to mind. He's like Michael Jordan for basketball.
Yeah, but I think if you think about what Lemieux did for the city of Pittsburgh and the Penguins in general, I think that's a big thing. But getting back to the greatest player of all time argument, if you look at the plus minus, considering that hockey is a very team-orientated sport, probably more so than a lot of sports, Lemieux's career plus-minus was 115, as opposed to Wayne Gretzky's, which was 518. That's night and day.
That's true, but you've also got to consider the teams that these respective players played on. I mean, Gretzky was part of one of the greatest dynasties of all time, and Lemieux didn't really have any good teammates until, you know, they had Jaromir Jagr join the team, basically.
Wayne Gretzky was a 15-time All-Star, led the league in goals per game 3 times in the 80s. He had a career goals per game of 0.6, which makes him 7th all-time. Lemieux had a career goals per game... Oh, wow. I just disparaged my own argument.
You sure did.
Lemieux had a career goals per game of 0.75, which makes him 3rd overall. But...
You sure did.
Yes, I did. I disparaged my own argument, and I will admit that.
Lemieux was one of the best scorers of all time.
And also, I think, for some reason, I'm now partially arguing your point of view, but Lemieux's overall goals created per game... Goals created per game is a really advanced statistic. It's kind of hard to explain. You'll just have to look up the actual formula for how it's computed. But he is the number one all-time in NHL history for goals created per game, which is 0.71. And I think... Yeah, Gretzky is number 3 overall with a 0.69.
And while we're on the subject of stats, Mario Lemieux holds the career record for highest points per game at 2.005, and highest goals per game average, which is 0.823, which to me says that he's the most productive player in the history of hockey. He may not have been on the ice as much as you'd want him to, but when he was on the ice, he was the most dominant force in the game.
I don't know, that can still be argued, because you have to equate health into if you would be the greatest of all time. Like that plays an important role. I mean, Gretzky has more goals than anyone ever, and he has more assists, he has more points.
That's true, but those are all counting stats. That's what I'm saying. You can't really do a fair comparison with counting stats because Gretzky played in 572 more games than Mario Lemieux did. You can look at rate stats and see what they did and on a per-game basis, and Lemieux blew Gretzky out of the water.
I wouldn't say blew out of the water. They're almost always between 3rd and 1st in almost all of those categories.
I don't know. I'm just saying that when on the ice, Lemieux was the bigger force to be reckoned with.
Maybe in a per game basis, Lemieux may have been a better player, but it really does boil down to other things such as leadership that you saw from Gretzky. And that's not to say that Lemieux wasn't a good captain or anything like that. It's just that, I don't know, if I'm playing on a team, I expect my captain to fight through illness. And yeah, Lemieux had cancer at one point, which, you know what, I'm not expecting him to fight through that in the same way I'm expecting him to fight through, like, a broken finger or something. But not all of his injuries were attributed to, you know, illness such as that. One thing I'm interested in is, I wish I had the time to actually crunch the numbers on this. Average time on ice. Wayne Gretzky for his career has an average time on ice of 21.04, and Lemieux has a career on ice time of 22.40. Now, it's only about a minute and a half. But part of me is wondering, does that additional ice time play in at all to the statistics?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Because you would think that, you know, he averages an extra minute and a half per game. How much does that extra minute and a half play into his stats?
Right. Over several full seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, Lemieux is second overall in assists per game, and Wayne Gretzky is number one all-time in assists per game. Okay, so Lemieux more often than not scores more goals per game, while Gretzky is more of a team player and gets more assists per game. Not to mention, Gretzky has a much higher plus-minus, which plus-minus is a statistic that gets debated all the time, like its merit and its worth. But it still shows something there that I think maybe Lemieux as an individual player may have been better, but Gretzky as a team player may have been a lot better.
See, I don't know if you can say that either, because again, you go back and look at their teams.
Well, that's true. I mean, Gretzky in the 80s had Messier and...
Yeah, and Coffey, and he had more players to set up. Who did Lemieux have for most of his career? Mike Ballard? Warren Young? You know, these aren't exactly marquee names. For a long time, Lemieux had to single-handedly carry his team.
Yeah, and it's interesting looking at their statistics, because I have everything right in front of me right now. It seems that Lemieux, like, the times that these two guys hit their peak is extremely different. Like, Gretzky seemed like, if you look at all of his statistics, He's right there in the mid-80s, like, he is the man. And then if you look in the early 90s, that's like Lemieux's time.
Right, and that's largely because that's when the Penguins started to build a team around Lemieux. That's when you got Mark Recchi, that's when you got Jaromir Jagr, that's when you got good players around him. I don't want to say that Gretzky couldn't have won any of these awards or scoring titles without the team that he played on, the Edmonton dynasty and what have you, but I definitely think he would have had a harder time of it. I think his stats probably would have looked similar to Lemieux's.
Like, Lemieux played for the Penguins his entire career, and even in years when he didn't really have anyone around him, he still shined, but it wasn't until there was really a team built around him that he went to the finals, whereas Gretzky took not only the Oilers to the finals, what, 4 years? 4 years? I don't know. What, four times? I know at least three. I think he took them four times. And then he took the Kings to the finals. The LA Kings, a team that has really never had that much of a solid core.
Sure, you can say that. But they had a solid team when he joined them, for sure. They weren't full of bums, so to speak. A lot of the Penguins teams were full of bums, and you could double or triple team Mario Lemieux and try to shut him down. what made Lemieux special is that he could break through those double and triple teams and score on you anyway.
I don't know. I think this is going to be one of those things where we just consistently sit here, and there's not going to be any way to determine it, because obviously greatest of all time is such a, you know.
Right, it's not an objective term.
So, since we're here, I think we should probably bring up Bobby Orr. I mean, you can look at Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr had, he was an all-star the majority of his career. He is third overall in assists per game.
He played a very different style game than Lemieux and Gretzky as well.
Yeah, they played without helmets back then, because they were real men. Or real stupid, one of those two.
They played in an entirely different environment and entirely different styles of play.
Oh yeah.
I think as hard as it is to compare somebody like Lemieux and Gretzky, imagine how hard it is to compare them to Bobby Orr, who was a defenseman first and foremost, and who played in an entirely different era.
Yeah. I think that's very fair to say.
That said, even as a defenseman, he was a significant scoring threat.
I would definitely agree with that. It's funny because what you were saying, where it's too hard to compare these things. Like, you look at Bobby Orr's statistics, even just looking at what you can get from Hockey Reference, they're not complete. Like, you can tell that there are pieces missing.
Right.
And of course they don't have, like, the goals per game up there, or, like, the average or anything like that. So it's really hard to compare, let alone the two that we have been arguing about with Orr. So I don't know. I guess we're stuck where we started out at, which is disagreeing with each other. I still think Gretzky is the greatest of all time, and I will think that until I am proven wrong by either Sidney Crosby, you know, or Alexander Ovechkin, or hopefully Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter because Crosby will render all these arguments void, so...
Oh, yeah. No. We'll see. We'll see about that. I still think Ovechkin is a better player than Crosby, but that's a different argument for a different day.
In all honesty, I kind of like Evgeny Malkin better than Crosby myself.
Yeah. Well, just don't admit that to too many people. So, we'd like to thank you for listening. I hope that this version of the podcast that we've given to you is something that you enjoy a lot more than the what was kind of a drier version that we had in our first few episodes. As always, we'd just like to thank you for listening. We would encourage you strongly to check out our blog and our Twitter account and anything else you can. Of course, the blog can be found at www.sixtyfixin.com. And we can always be reached through email at sixtyftsixin@gmail.com. We would like to thank you for listening a third time, because now we got the hat trick for that.
Keeping with the hockey theme of the night.
Oh, of course. And I don't think we have anything else to say. Thank you for your continued support of us and all we do. And any complaints that you have with us, you can take it up either on the blog or through email. So, thank you again for listening. Kiss the baby and put it to bed. We're done.